I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Art Imitates Life with respect to Cuban baseball players. But first, for our discussion of the week's news, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce, who's out there in basketball land, Pittsburgh, I think, this time around. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Nearly every year, the first day of March Madness is declared the best ever in terms of some metric and the worst ever in terms of some other metric. This year's day one beat out all the others in games decided by 1 point, and only 273 out of 11.5 million brackets remained perfect in ESPN's Tourney Challenge. So, best ever?
Yeah, a terrific first day. Well, not only 5 1-point games, but a lot of really well-played 1-point games. A lot of teams gave it a good run. Harvard took a real shot at North Carolina. Northeastern had the game in its hand on the first game of the day in Pittsburgh and couldn't get a shot off when they needed it. Iowa State got beat because they couldn't get a shot off at the end of the game. Yeah, there aren't very many metrics by which this was a bad day of basketball.
Not everybody is pleased with the madness of March. Jack Swarbrick, athletic director at Notre Dame, has identified what he calls a cultural divide in college athletics, basketball included, and it has led him to suggest that there should be, quote, more than one intercollegiate athletic association. As somebody who thinks one is too many of those, what do you think?
Well, I don't deny the necessity of having some sort of body to organize things. I'm not in favor of complete anarchy. But what has escaped the gentleman from Notre Dame, what's escaped his attention is there already are different levels of college sports. What he wants is different levels of the college sports in which everybody makes a lot of money, which is a different thing.
Well, in Mr. Swarbrick's model, the two different associations would, and I'm quoting again, reflect differing academic approaches. I'm wondering, does this mean that for the schools in one association, academics would sort of matter, and for the ones in the other one that was essentially semi-pro, there wouldn't even be a pretense of that?
I think that's probably what the way Mr. Swarbrick would sell it. I think pretty much what he wants is brownie points for the fact that Notre Dame has managed to maintain this, what I believe is a rather fictional illusion of being an academic power while running a big-time sports program.
Meanwhile, at their meetings next week, NFL owners are considering not one, not two, but 23 rules proposals. It sounds a little bit like a Monty Python sketch. More than half of those proposals involve expanding the rules regarding instant replay, so that ought to make the game a lot more fun to watch.
Well, especially if you happen to want to sell more luxury automobiles and
beer.
Low-interest subprime mortgages. Yeah, I mean, a game that's already too long, a game that lasts 3 hours with about 11 minutes of actual action, is now going to extend itself.
Charlie, perhaps you have seen the YouTube series Between Two Ferns. This week we learned that the NFL turned down an interview request from host Zach Galifianakis. Zach Galifianakis, because they would not allow Commissioner Roger Goodell to, quote, subject himself to ridicule. There's a joke in there somewhere. I think I'll let you make it.
Well, first of all, Bill, we can excuse you getting Galifianakis wrong, but you shouldn't have stumbled over Zach, number one. And secondly, I maintain that they won't put Goodell on there because he's intellectually intimidated by the two ferns on the set.
Tom House, the ex-MLB pitcher who now works with quarterbacks, reported this week that Tim Tebow, quote, spins the ball better and is more accurate than he used to be. House says Tebow is ready to play in the NFL. Do you think any NFL teams will agree?
There's a huge, yawning, gaping, vast width of the Dardanelles difference between Tim Tebow throwing the ball better and Tim Tebow being ready to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but he spins the ball better.
He does, perhaps on his head and perhaps on his nose, and we should throw him a fish. But he's still not ready to be an NFL quarterback.
Minor League Baseball's New Britain Rockcats have moved to Hartford. The team invited potential fans to vote on a new name, and the winner, according to some people at SI.com, is the very best name ever for such a team. How do you feel about the Hartford Yard Goats?
I don't even know what it means, but it's wonderful.
I need a shirt and a hat, and I need them now.
It sounds very much like something you would say to insult someone in Arkansas.
You Yard Goats.
Y'all Yard Goat.
And finally, Charlie, last Sunday, an Ottawa Senators fan threw a hamburger onto the ice after goaltender Andrew the Hamburglar Hammond helped his team notch another win. So, obviously, that's the last we've seen of that, right?
No. Curtis Lazar, one of Hammond's teammates, ate the hamburger. I, for one, can hardly wait until Montreal signs promising goaltender Louis Chateaubriand. Either that or the goalie for the Detroit Red Wings has to change his last name to Calamari.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland. And, of course, he joins me each week here on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.